This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. With the boom in virtual and remote lessons, it's difficult to remember that there was a time not too long ago that taking online classes was a bit of a strange concept, often met with skepticism. Eng Ying Chow, founder of open educational platform 30 EdTech, is here with me on the line today to explain how his platform differs from traditional schools, why 30 EdTech uses a freemium model, and why online learning will continue going strong.
Okay, thanks, Christine, for having me. Okay. My name is YC. So I was an engineer in Xiong Malaysia Trading for a few years. After that, I started a software company with friends, and then I actually founded another e-commerce platform whereby we focus on selling handmade product in Malaysia, just like Lazada and Shopee, but only handmade product. But it was during that time that I started a personal blog. To talk about education, schools, and then parenting issue, because my eldest just entered to this primary school during that time. After a while, I realized that the traffic of my personal blog is actually much higher than the e-commerce platform that I started. Parents, they are coming to my blog because they want to download the free exercises that I share. So it got me thinking of what are the response for these exercises or online education resources is so good. I actually do some research on this, and then I found that the potential of online education in Malaysia is actually great, because in the past 2-3 decades, there aren't much progress in terms of this education in Malaysia here. So that's how I decided to do it full-time, and then started the real type.
Fantastic. Now, from my understanding, you didn't have, though, any background in educational space before. I mean, you had the entrepreneurial experience and you had the tech experience in setting up, you know, an online platform of some kind. But specifically, the educational aspect of this was not something that you had had professional experience with before. So could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, you're right. Not really a professional experience in terms of education, but I do teach tuition during my secondary time as a way to earn some side income. Yeah.
Seems to work, I guess.
Correct, yes.
Right. So, I mean, tell me a little bit about the kind of way that 30 EdTech works, because first of all, it is an open educational platform. So tell me about how that differs from what we may see as other online educational platforms that are available now.
Okay, so actually we want to be the one-stop center for parents in regards of everything about online education. So for example, what we offer is online tuition, just like most tuition centers they do. And second one will be online courses, whereby online courses, we have a few type pre-record video, electronic question bank, where students can log in and answer the questions. And also we have teacher-student matching services. That means parents can come here and they can actually look for different specific. For example, they say, I don't want online class. I want a teacher to come to my house. And then I want the teacher who can teach whichever subject from which time to which time and come to my house at this place. So these are some of the services that we actually provide. Mm. So exercises, teachers, large class, small class tuition, we do it all.
Right. So you essentially aggregate all these different resources so that your clients, who are the parents, obviously, can essentially find whatever they need on the platform, whether it is the learning resources themselves or someone who can help facilitate a lesson in some way, shape or form.
Correct.
Interesting. Now, the other unique thing about 30 EdTech that is interesting to me is you use what you're calling the freemium business model. And fascinatingly, you have compared it in previous publications to the Candy Crush business model. So tell me a little bit about that and how that was the inspiration behind how you've structured your business.
Okay. So first of all, when it started, Candy Crush was the hottest game in town at that time. And the reason that we use this, we use Candy Crush as an example, is because, like I mentioned just now, when we started Dirty Attack, it was actually my personal blog. And we have the traffic. I mean, a lot of parents actually come visit us, but we know that there is a potential and then there is a market for online education. So when we decided to do it full-time and then run it as a proper business or company, we need to find a way to monetize the traffic because we got to pay the bill for and then operation and all those. So the easiest way will be, instead of giving everything for free, I mean, before this, we give all these resources free. So the easiest way will be, instead of giving it away for free, we can start charging parents for this. But if we start charging all these resources that we provide, it defeats the initial intention, the purpose of holding, whereby we want to reduce the cost of quality education in Malaysia. So what we decided to do is that instead of stop sharing free resources, we actually continue to produce more. Just that some of these resources, some of these content, we will put it behind a paywall. It will be like a premium content where parents, if you need more exercise or you need a better quality content, you can actually pay to get all this. Or even as a way to support us, appreciation of what we've done, parents can actually choose to pay us. So this is the idea, the reason why we want to do this. And just the business model, exactly like what Candy Crush has done. I mean, there are people who spend like hundreds of hours of entertainment from this app, yet they didn't pay a single cent from it.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about how you distinguished the premium materials from the freely available resources. And also, you know, how did you set a price on what you do have to pay for?
Okay. So essentially service, for example, online tuition service are the things that we will charge for. So for example, like tuition classes. And then the other one will be the pre-recorded video, where we actually hired a few very experienced teachers to design this content, and we animated it. And these are very good quality video, where these are the things that we will actually charge. And the other thing that we actually give away a lot for free are mathematics exercises and partial paper. For this exercises, we actually have some that we invite the teacher to create and design all this, where we rearrange it and then edit and provide the very comprehensive explanation or each answer. So these are the premium content that we will charge for.
I see. And, you know, especially in the case of pre-existing educational materials, right? I understand that, you know, it can be a bit difficult to procure, especially when it comes to the exam papers that were from previous exam boards, anything like that. Like, so how do you go about getting these resources, or are you creating original papers from scratch?
We actually do both. So those that we create, like for example, the mathematics exercise, we actually create it. It's an original exercise that we provide. About the exam paper, we also invite teacher. We actually pay teacher to design all this question. But this will be considered as premium product that we will charge. But there are also free partial paper that we actually get from parents. So some parents, they will exchange these paper with us, or some of them simply because they get so many free resources from us, they say, hey, do you need more paper? I actually have some. If you want, I can share with you. So this is how we get these pre-existing material.
Right. So it's really interesting to me because the way that your blog picked up steam was it essentially created its own community. And now that community is feeding back to you because it's helping you out with the resources needed to sustain the entire life cycle, right?
Yes.
Very cool. So you came up with this whole concept and you started this blog, and that sort of snowballed into a business in 2017. And while, you know, a lot of concepts were slowly going more online at that time, online classes were still not something that had really hit the mainstream at that point. So could you tell me a little bit about that part of starting the business, did you get any initial pushback, or did you have to invest in a lot of customer education at that point?
Yes, absolutely. During that time, most of the parents or even teachers, they have never heard of online education. I mean, the idea of teaching over a video call or a conference call like what we do now is unheard of during that time. So most of the parents, they are skeptical of such services. I mean, if I can send my children to the tuition center like 5 km away, why would I want to do it online? So initially, I mean, it's very difficult for us to actually not only convince parents to even explain to them what this is. So I actually teach online tuition for free during the time, just so that parents, they get it, just so they understand what this is about. But even then, I only managed to recruit like 4 or 5 students for free. So it was quite difficult that time. And we also, other than not charging them, we also upload a lot of this, our video of how this class is being conducted. How do we teach via, that time we were also using Zoom. We upload all this video to YouTube. So slowly we are getting more inquiry. I mean, or the feedback is increasing. But to be honest, nothing that we have done can compare with the impact of MCO in 2020. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that time it was like overnight, every single parent, teacher, and student, they have to learn how to conduct a class online, how to join a class online, or even what is online class. Mm-hmm. So if it wasn't for the MCO, I would say that it would take at least another 10 years for us to reach the level of acceptance and or no understanding of online classes in Malaysia.
Mm. I mean, I was about to ask as well, you know, obviously the pandemic must have had an effect, and it seems that I was correct, right, on that assumption. In a strange way, the pandemic may have come about at just about the right time. You know, as your business was slowly growing, you had this sudden mass event that forced people to get comfortable with the concept that you had been already trying to educate your consumers about for so long, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's fascinating. And I mean, how has the business fared then? I mean, I assume then the interest just shot up as a result during the MCO.
Correct. For online education, actually before this, we were trying a few, quite a number of other methods. Mm. Now the mainstream is actually teaching online through via conference. But before this, there are a few other online education that people do, like for example, pre-recording, matching services, or even electronic question bank. So for us, during pandemic, the demand for online tuition specifically shot up a lot, and it becomes our core service to deliver actually like 90% of our revenue. And in 2021 alone, our revenue grew by 300% at least, mostly due to this demand for online education. Most importantly, the pandemic actually makes online, it actually removed the cost of educating customer in the market, and it makes online education a feasible business model in Malaysia now. Mm-hmm. That's why we actually, we managed to raise funds in 2020 for further expanding our business in online education.
Fantastic. All right. It's time to take a short break for some messages, but after that, I will continue speaking to YC, Eng Ying Chow, founder of open educational platform 30 EdTech, here on Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Behold freedom, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You're listening listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and I'm speaking to Eng Ying Chow, or YC, founder of 30 EdTech, which is an open educational platform. Before the break, we talked about the inception of 30 EdTech and the boom, obviously, in online learning and online classes that came about as a result of the pandemic and how that affected 30 EdTech as well. Now, tell me a little bit about the entire process. If I were a parent looking to procure more of those premium products that we discussed before the break, what exactly is the process? Where would I go? Is it a website, an app? What's the entire step-by-step?
Oh, it's very straightforward. It's just like you're buying anything else on Lazada or Shopee. So you just go to our website and then you will see this selection of premium courses that we offer. We'll have online tuition, electronic question bank, or a premium parcel paper. So you just take whichever you want, add it to the cart, pay up, then you'll be able to, for online classes, we will actually call you up and provide the login details and content. And for downloadable content, you can download directly after that. Mm. It's very straightforward.
And obviously, while people have now become more familiarized and more comfortable with the idea of online classes, when it comes to education in general, there does still need to be essentially some sort of quality control or vetting process, I would imagine, for the educators that you have now taken into your fold, right? So could you tell me a little bit about that and how you have grown that part of your business, the people who help with the education aspect of this?
Yep, definitely. So each of the teachers that join our platform, we will actually call them up to understand their background and we'll do a simple background check with them. If required, you may ask for some documentation. And then the important thing is, why we are doing that is that we want to choose the best teacher that is available or suitable for the parents. So we do a simple background check for every teacher. And then depending on the services they are offering, either a big class, small class, or one-to-one services, we will try to find the service that is suitable for each and every of these teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, for online education, we are more transparent and it's actually easier for parents to get involved or know what the teacher is doing or teaching in class.
Mm-hmm.
For traditional tuition center, very seldom that we have seen teacher actually attend the class together with children. So I would say like 90% of the parents would not know what their children learn from the tuition center every day. For online classes, many times we see that parents actually sitting next to the students. They may not show up on the camera, but we see that the student always looking on the left or on the right side and then answer the questions. Suddenly they come up with the answer. So we know that actually it is actually a more transparent way for parents to know or to see what is going on for online classes. So the second thing is that how does parents know if these online classes is for them or for their children? So first of all, we are being very selective in terms of choosing which teacher to work with. So anyone can register on our website, but most of them, we will call them and try to understand their background. But mm-hmm. we only work with those teacher that we think is a good match for us and the parents. So we actually there's a quality control here, not only the background, but also we will actually have them teach one or two classes, and then based on the feedback from parents to decide whether we want to continue the cooperation. So the selection on the teacher part, we actually control that. That is a very tight process. And then the second part is actually the. We know, instead of telling parents that our teachers are the best, our online classes are very good, we actually show them. So we offer 2 weeks of trial class free for them. So there is no obligation, no prepayment, registration fee, nothing, no those kind of small print terms and conditions that they need to agree to. So just sign up and then we will arrange a trial class for them. Then we will call them up. So the trial class is finished. Are you happy with the classes? If you're interested, you can continue. If no, then it's okay. So instead of letting them guess or invest a certain amount of money to find out whether our online class is for them, we actually offer free 2 weeks of trial class for them to find out.
Got it. All right. That is really great. Now, One of the issues that has cropped up as more people have taken to becoming more comfortable with online learning, though, is the issue of digital fatigue. Obviously, not just online learning, but the fact that for the better part of the past 2 years, we have all been staring at screens far more than I think we would all like to. So tell me a little bit about that issue and how 30EdTech is combating that, or at least circumventing it in a situation. I understand that you did mention earlier that you do have, access to physical classes available, right? But when it comes to especially the online resources and that main element of your business, how have you navigated this issue?
Okay, so we do notice this happen, and we have taken a few initiatives to tackle this problem. So for example, we encourage our teacher to gamify the online classes. So when they teach, try to gamify the learning process, like giving points and then assigning students to answer the question, or even be the teacher, little teacher in class. And the other arrangement, like short breaks in between, more frequent. And then we also want our teacher to ensure that they engage every student in every class. Because with high engagement, you can actually increase their concentration span, and then also reduce the fatigue.
Mm.
But one thing that we notice is that compared to one-to-one classes with a small group tuition classes, the digital fatigue actually occur more frequently in these one-to-one classes. We find that small group classes, less than 10, actually is more fun and engaging and interesting for primary school students. They would enjoy it more because they're like, it's like a game they play together with their peers and the teacher instead of just one-to-one mm-hmm. with the teacher.
Mm.
So it actually depends on classes, size of classes, students and teacher.
I think that's really insightful. The fact that although yes, one-on-one classes occasionally are necessary, but it's that group interaction that helps with the engagement. And as a result, if you're more engaged, you are not necessarily as culpable to digital fatigue as you may be otherwise. That's really interesting.
Right.
Now, the elephant in the room, however, is the fact that we are barreling towards the endemic approach to living with COVID-19. So with that in mind, especially with the insight that you shared with me earlier that the pandemic tripled your revenue, essentially, how do you feel about the fact that physical classes are getting back into action? And, you know, how do you think 30EdTech will continue to fare with that in mind?
Okay, so in the past few months, physical classes started in the past few months, and then we do see a drop in terms of the student sign up or a slowdown, but it is still much higher pre-pandemic compared to pre-pandemic. So the question of whether online learning or education is still relevant once we fully reopen, I think the answer is definitely online education will be here to stay. But the question will be 2 years down the road, the online education will be very different from what we are used to or what we see here now today. So I do not see online and offline. It's kind of like online versus offline kind of better.
Mm.
It's more like online and how online and offline complementing each other as a solution that to help this teacher to teach more effectively and student to learn in an easier way. Is a online, this kind of online merge offline of hybrid will be the main drive post-pandemic, which I would say learning center, they will use solution. Learning center will digitize their operations, implementing learning management system to streamline their businesses.
Mm.
So for example, instead of using pen and paper, tuition center, they may assign homework or exercises through the system, mm-hmm. and students just need to log in and answer the question. And the system can also personalize learning journey of the student. So yeah, I think online education will definitely stay. It might look slightly different than how it is today.
Right. So essentially, instead of being competitive against one another, online and offline learning should essentially become married moving
Correct.
Into the future in order to support education as a whole.
Correct.
All right, well, that's all the time we have for today's chat, but thank you very much to YC for sharing with us all about 30 EdTech today.
Thanks for having me, Christine.
You've been listening to Open for Business with me, Christine Wong. I've been speaking to Eng Ying Chow, or YC, the founder of 30 EdTech. If you've missed any of today's conversation, you can go ahead and download the podcast. It's available on our app, which is on the Apple App Store and Google Play, or on our website, bfm.my, to listen to and download. This is BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.